Ladies and gentlemen, Chikara fans, Chikarmy, all of the various individuals that might be listening to this, for whatever reason you might feel the need to, I am PJ Drummond. Welcome once again to My Breakfast with Chikara, and I am ecstatic today as I am joined by an individual that I will admit helped me out tremendously when I was getting started as a referee, and I think without him I wouldn't be as good as I think I am, well, humble brag right there.
hashtag humble brag.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
I'm joined by Bryce Remsburg, everyone.
Aww.
Welcome, Bryce.
I don't know what scratch and sniff or how that works, but I'm blushing. I don't know if that's transmitting through the podcast universe, the telephone, whatever it is. I am blushing, though. But thank you, PJ. I will continue the Mutual Admiration Society and say that PJ, I think, is probably one of my favorite referees in the whole world. And a stand-up guy. I enjoy his company. He's let me stay to the apartment. He's a great fellow, and I... more people should listen to My Breakfast with Chikara because of PJ Drummond, and because it took us almost 11 years to come up with an Andy Kaufman homage, and I can't believe it took us so long. But I'm really excited that we have done so.
We have finally done it. Yes.
Yeah. Now we're done. That's it.
Yes, it is a beautiful thing. Yeah. So how are you? You've had a...
I'm well.
You recently had a busy weekend, but
There was quite the anniversary weekend. We had an excellent turnout in Easton and Manhattan, becoming two of the hot spots on the increasing tour docket this year. But Easton, the big bomb was dropped on Easton. King of Trios is coming to Easton all three nights.
Mm-hmm.
The Easton Fun Plus in September, which is going to be crazy. And I suppose by now we've all heard about the first trio, and boy, what an announcement it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we all can't wait until September 14th, 15th, and 16th in Easton for King of Trios. But busy weekend, good time seeing a lot of old friends. Blind Rage surfaced, and all the old... this is a long shot, but my most excited part of the weekend was seeing Glenn from Smart Mark Video. G-Unit was in full effect.
Awesome.
In Easton, Glenn and Gary were both there. Haven't seen them in the same place in probably 4 or 5 years.
That is tremendous.
Good packed crowd, both places. A personal highlight was naming a match. We had a four-way trios match in Manhattan, which I would be willing to bet is available on Smart Mark Video already.
More than likely,
yes. Hear this. Called the Royal Rhombus, which I was really excited about. A geometry joke.
Wow.
Because it was a four-way trios match. But the four trios were not, there weren't straight lines between all four trios.
Of course.
So it was called the first ever Royal Rhombus match. And Gavin Loudspeaker and I came up with that right before the show, and we were giggling, very excited, very excited. And then we traded REM references on commentary. It's becoming our new tradition of going back and forth on a different show. We pick a band and try to poorly shoehorn their references into... matches. In Long Island, we did Billy Joel, and in Jersey, we did Bruce Springsteen, and then in New York, we did REM for no particular reason. We're talking about Georgia or something.
Why
but
not?
That's rapidly becoming one of my favorite parts of the shows as well. These are all selfish, silly reasons.
It might have to become a contest by the end of the year where people have to send in what all the songs that you referenced you went through commentary.
Yes, and suggest new ones, and we'll see if we can tackle them. I was definitely outmanned with REM. I held my ground with Billy Joel, but he had me with REM. Turtle was trying to do Dave Matthews Band with me, and I think he's just kind of like jumping on the party, and I do not know many Dave Matthews songs. But yes, send us your suggestions on Twitter, and we will do it. It'll be a fun thing. Or during the next iPay-per-view, I suppose, we can do it live on the trending, the hashtag.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah. Crazy. That was one of my most vivid memories of High Noon was, making stupid jokes and, hanging out with Gavin or Leonard F. Chikara, goofing around talking to Michael like we do once a month, but getting instant reactions, getting text messages from people that are watching the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. getting, mentioned on Twitter, goofing off and getting immediate reaction. I don't know what the word is.
Instant gratification.
Exactly. Thank you. Man, PJ's the best. PJ's the best. Instant gratification on our, yes, stupid puns and whatnot.
That's
good time.
It's been an interesting trend of Chikara. I mean, you guys, of most, I would say, are definitely on the forefront of the technology bandwagon when it comes to anything. I mean, between the podcast at GoGo, the iPay-per-view a lot of people are doing, but, you know, the live pre-show with the interaction, and then even the recent foray into Groupon down in Lafayette, Indiana. Is that just a company-wide spearhead thing that you guys all try to do?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these things are, I mean, it is no secret there is not a millionaire, you know, shoveling money into the Chikara universe. That has never happened, and I don't know that it ever will, but there are all these things that are essentially, you know, a tweet is free, to post a video on YouTube is free, like, it's a little elbow grease, and, you know, someone's got to edit it, someone's got to shoot it, someone's got to, you know, but little stuff like that goes a long way, and like you said, there's instant gratification, constant contact. I mean, you know, it's not easy releasing a video every day. It's a lot of work for a lot of people, but it's that, and especially this year, there's kind of a underlying mantra every year, and this year it is, you are Chikara. A lot of, you know, we've instituted a pre-show game show. You're waiting in line to our live events. There's a game show, you know, an intermission. You come into the crowd and get your pictures taken with the guys. You know, guys come out at intermission. Guys come out after the show to shake hands. That's a tradition that we borrowed from Osaka Pro. We go to a new market, try to go out. You know, it's kind of like, it's very, very cheesy what I'm about to say, but, you know, someone came over to your house. We invite everyone over, and we want to thank them for coming. So, you know, a lot of the time you'll see, exceptionally, we go to a new place. All the technicos come out, shake hands on the way out. We call the Osaka farewell lovingly. Just a lot, borrowing a lot of a page out of the book of the Harlem Globetrotters, who are, if you've ever attended a Harlem Globetrotters game, it is the second you get out of your car to the second you get in your car, your senses are stimulated, you're entertained, there's something going on, and I think that with the colorful characters, and, you know, we have such a deep roster, we're gaining a large non-performance roster in, you know, Brendan, the Chikara concierge, Billy Kumohara, the game show host, Via, the photographer, like, we're gaining a large gang of people that seem to like to follow us around, and we're, you know, with all these resources at our disposal, we're doing our best to put them all to work and utilize them, and, you know, the second you get out of your car to the second you get in, like, there's something going on. There's someone in some form of colorful outfit, maybe, doing something to entertain you. You know, you always see the guys out at intermission. Used to be the portal used to do dance contest intermission. You always see Ultra Mantis out, and you know, if there's a god in heaven, you'll see Colt Cabana on intermission, of course. when he's around, El Generico's rapidly becoming a Colt Cabana stalwart at the intermission table. But yeah, just something for everyone, and I think that's really evolved as our calling card is the wrestling for the non-wrestling fan. You know, my girlfriend brings her friends to the shows; they all have a great time, and. A lot of, obviously, you know, we've said this before, there's thousands and maybe millions of displaced professional wrestling fans in the world. I mean, when Raw and Nitro were hot, there, you know, there's a third of the amount of people watching Raw now. Like, these people all been just, like, explode or, like, spontaneously implode or burst in flames. Like, they're out there somewhere. They just don't want to watch wrestling anymore. And I think even indie-wise, if you look at the crowds Ring of Honor was drawing 5, 6, 8 years ago.
Oh yeah.
There's a large displacement of fans in all the major wrestling cities, you know, New York, Chicago, and Philly being the big three in my mind. Boston to an extent. We're trying to get these people back. We're trying to remind them that wrestling is fun, and when you were a kid, things were colorful and larger than life, and it wasn't all, you know, head drops and kicks and all that, you know, business sort of stuff. There's a very fun subtext, I think.
Right.
Not even subtext, whatever the opposite of subtext is. outer text, interface text. These are the things that amuse me in an event center. I got to say that we were having an an intergender tag team match, and then I also wrote an intragender tag team match, which is, you know, guys on guys. But,
of course.
You know, I heard an intragender match before.
Awesome.
Yes, we're nerds, and so are you for listening to us, and we embrace that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as a kid, was it the fun stuff of wrestling that got you interested?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
When I was a kid, it was the Ultimate Warrior. It was
yes.
Running around like a maniac and shaking the ropes, and like, absolutely, that's larger than life to me. Like, as I became older, I started to appreciate what I imagined. It's, you know, considered work rate, you know, the Ric Flairs and the Shawn Michaels and the Mr. Perfects of the world. But when I was a kid, oh, man, it was the Ultimate Warrior and the Macho Man. It was crazy robes and sunglasses and, you know, unintelligible promos. Like, that was up to me. That was awesome.
And did you ever think it would lead to an environment that bends the very laws of physics and puts you in slow motion on occasion, or causes you to do things that you might not have necessarily thought you would do randomly, such as spin and jump.
I never thought of that. That's very true. Even when I began training at Chikara, the promotion had not yet actually debuted. There was really no barometer for what we were in for. Like, you know, now in 2012, someone shows up at the Chikara Wrestle Factory, they have an idea what's to come. But then, oh no, I had no idea. To get into a wrestling ring was a thrill to me. And it's crazy that I'm at a point in my life that that's something that I take for granted. Like, when you see it at intermission, when the fans get in and take pictures of the guys and see it, like, you know, they're excited to be in a ring. Some of them have never been in a ring before. Or, like, when a guy has a belt, like, when they get to hold a belt, like, whoa, you know, their face lights up. And, like, this is stuff that is now commonplace in my life. And that's crazy to me. Like, that's just no big deal. Like, holding a belt or, you know, getting in a ring or running the ropes. Like, I've almost become jaded. I never want to lose the appreciation, you know, like, once in a while, a show comes along, you kind of don't feel like going, you gotta drag yourself there, and I feel spoiled. I feel a little bit ungrateful when that happens, but, you know, I'm so, so lucky. The places I've got to go and the people I've got to meet, referee for and be in locker rooms with, like, childhood heroes and stuff, like, I'm a huge Andy Kaufman fan, as I alluded to, and I got to referee a Jerry Lawler match. Like, that's the closest I'll ever come, you know? Like, and he was probably blowing smoke, and he told me I did a good job, and, like, I could have floated above the Mid-South Coliseum that night. It was crazy. It was amazing.
Did you want to be a referee when you started? Was that the goal?
I think that I feel that as if maybe, PJ, you can, I don't know if you've had a referee guest yet, but
I have not.
Maybe you can identify with me here. I think that I am not an athletic person, no offense to you.
Oh, yes.
I've never been an athletic person, and I think that just being able to be involved and be in the ring and do the, you know, be a part of the action appealed to me without, you know, athletic ability that I do not possess, or the physicality that I'm not crazy about, or the, you know, and I've said this before, I think it's like, do I want to be a little fish in a gigantic pond, or maybe I can, you know, set my goals high and aspire to be like a medium-sized fish in a medium-sized pond, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah, no, I definitely felt the same thing when I think, you know, on some level, I think everybody in wrestling wants to be a wrestler. I mean, there is a lot of glory and everything there, but I also came into it knowing I'd never played an organized sport in my life. I had never going to the gym was not for me.
I stood in the outfield and prayed the ball wouldn't come to me in Little League, so I wouldn't, you know, make my father angry, you know, that sort of stuff. Being called in to play my league-mandated 2 innings.
Right. Yeah.
One of my best friends in the whole world, we became friends when we were 8, because she was the only girl playing Little League baseball, and her father, you know, there was no softball for her, so he insisted that she play.
Wow.
And I was so unathletic, and I sat on the bench so much with her, we became friends, because we just hung out on the bench, eat oranges, and drank Gatorade, I guess, together, and it was awesome. Anyway, that's nothing to do with anything. But yeah. No, we're not athletic. We're not athletic. We're nerds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew I would never have the ability to go to the gym with the regularity with which I would need. And plus,
yeah.
As a referee, I get hit in the face, and I don't like that. So I don't know why I put myself in a position to constantly be hit in the face.
I was just thinking about that the other day. When I was 19, it was great, but now that I'm 29, like a weekend of like, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 matches, you know, running around, flopping up, flopping down, combined with like sleeping on a couch, like I'm sore. Like,
yeah.
I'm 29 now. My spring chicken days are behind me. Last year I had to ref a whole show of like 9 matches. I was exhausted. I was so tired. Like. Mm-hmm. I felt like my grandfather talking about back in the day and stuff. Like,
yeah, those shimmer weekends definitely do it to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Running around and the traveling, like the always, I always fly right in the morning and then go right to the building and then a whole day of wrestling and then, oh, man, yeah, it wears you down. It wears you down. One of my goals in adult life is to have a job where I can afford to take recovery days. It's like my new favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
Recovery days after wrestling weekends. That's awesome. Day off. Like a lot of, we're always, the end of the weekend, we're driving home to, oh man, I have to work around. Man, that sounds awesome. That sounds so awesome.
Absolutely. And I must say, I mean, you've traveled more than most referees. I would say. I mean, besides the multitudes of states that you worked in, you've also been out of country, which is awesome and something I'm supremely jealous of. But
just do it.
One day, yeah, it's the goal. No, definitely, yeah. How many states have you refed in?
28. It's not like I know that because I'm bragging. I know because I'm like trying. Every year I try to get a new one, and if I don't, I feel, you know, it's so much harder to rack them up now because all the ones that are close to where I live are either regulated, it's really hard to get a license, like Kentucky or Missouri, or just pretty much don't have wrestling. I remember New Hampshire was a coup. We all had to get licensed for New Hampshire when Chikara went to Nashua in 2009. That was a big coup. South Carolina eludes me.
Eludes.
And just, I got Texas last year. I was really excited about that.
Nice.
But yeah, and a lot of states don't have wrestling. I mean, there are some well-traveled, you know, WWE guys that don't have some states. Like, you know, I don't think WWE goes to Montana anymore.
I was just thinking Montana.
Idaho. Once in a while they go to Idaho. They didn't go to Oregon for the longest time. That's a Billy Joel song, by the way. That was an accident. but yeah, I don't know. I like to travel. Like without wrestling being involved, I really like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And just something I kind of started keeping track of.
Right.
Kiro was big into that. He was always, when we were traveling with him, when we were training with him when we first started, he was always, you know, he probably still keeps track.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Cabana last weekend. I asked him, you know, give me an idea, and he just like, Nate said, I used to keep track of my matches, and I used to keep track of the states I wrestled in, and when he got to OVW, he just stopped because he thought it would never matter again, but, you know, lo and behold.
Right.
Sadly, but truly, he's back with us on the lowly indies.
Yes.
But, I guess he just, you know, lost track, but no, yet. 28 states. I'd really love to referee in all 50, but I don't think that's gonna.
Yeah, no. I don't know if Alaska and Hawaii are a little rough these days.
Sweeney worked Hawaii once. There was some
motion
out there. He hooked up. He was really excited about it because he was into it too. And I remember him passing me. He was very proud of himself for passing me. Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun way to see places too. Like,
sure.
I never thought I'd go to the Mall of America, but because of wrestling, I went to the Mall of America. And, you know,
exactly.
Because of wrestling, I got to, you know, do these cool things in London and go to these cool things in Canada. And I don't know.
Wow.
And like, as a grown up now that I am a little less road crazy, of course, Chikara has become road crazy now. So it's all, you know, coming to get me again this year, especially. But
tremendous. So yeah, travel, all that fun stuff. We all
it's been
good. Actually, since we're on the Pennsylvania subject real quick, I do have to ask, even though I know the answer, and we've had this discussion many times, but because I keep doing the poll on the podcast, Wawa or Sheetz?
Ooh, this is a good breakfast with Chikara type question.
Yes.
I will say that I think that Wawa has better quality food.
Sure.
But Sheetz has better quantity. They have better options and better choices. So, because where I access Sheetz, where I grew up with my family is, when I go to visit them, there's always Sheetz around. And when Chikara goes to Reading. But Wawa's where I live. So Sheetz feels like a special treat to me, but in a pinch, I gotta go with Wawa.
I understand, definitely. Especially for some of the more the health conscious individuals of Chikara, I know Wawa definitely suited their purposes better.
One of them now wrestles on SmackDown, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I remember having
we're down the big one.
I remember having a conversation with Sarah Del Rey, and she was explaining to me that she was going to be having a cheat day on her diet, which consisted mostly of eating hummus, and I explained to her that her cheat day would be my best day.
Yeah, she used to have better cheat days. There's a place called the Royal Tavern by my house, which is this awesome restaurant that she loves, and that was like, oh, cheat day, you know, we'd go there after shows, but she looks great, so, I mean, it's cool,
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Good for her. I'm not knocking health and fitness.
Not at all.
Man, not me. Another reason to be a ref.
Exactly. Those slimming stripes, they help.
Yeah, so. the new Chikara shirts are actually exceptionally baggy, so man, I could really let myself go, I think, this season.
They are, I know. I was
right?
I was presented with one and I felt very excited and but yet they were also tremendously comfortable.
Yeah, no. I was advised to wear a shirt underneath. I was like, oh no, man, this feels good. I'm swimming in this thing, and they're very I'm a bit of a sweater too, and they're very friendly to that.
Yes.
The old polo referee shirts were not. I felt like every photograph I ever saw of myself, I you know, the pit stains and the belly sweat and all that. And so yeah, I like these new ones for that for sure.
Definitely. Where to go from here? This is where as I say on every show, my segues stink. I'm terrible at doing segues.
You're accidentally doing a really great one right now, I think.
I suppose. Maybe that is my segue, is complaining about my inability to do segues. Who was the one person you never imagined you would get to be in a ring with that you did?
Oh, man.
Because you've been with a lot. I know. You are a tramp of a referee.
No. Just lie him up, you know?
Yes.
There's a feeling that I'll never forget of Demolition music playing in King of Trios and coming down the ramp. And, you know, I think that was extra special because it was at a Chikara show.
Sure.
I body slammed Chris Candido once, too. That was pretty awesome. And he had his buttocks out. He was bare-butted in Lafayette, Indiana, actually.
I was in the audience for that match.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. As far as, like, you know, marking out, as they say, as the kids are saying nowadays, which is, you know, somehow a bad thing still, which I'll never understand.
Strange.
As far as being a fan, mm-hmm. when Demolition was coming down the ramp in King of Trios, I was pretty much losing my stuff.
Sure. I think mine, although interestingly enough, getting a chance to be in the ring of with Demolition happened for me at King of Trios as well, and that was actually the last match in my very first year of wrestling.
That's awesome.
So kind of complete.
Really awesome.
It was a nice, and it was in the arena. The first time I got to work in the arena.
That's awesome. That's a good day.
So,
it's a good day at the office.
Amazing capper there.
That's when they squished Hydra.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Poor Hydra. Oh.
No, I was excited because I got to commentate. I got to commentate a Demolition match. I remember that. That's the same match we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. We were both marking out at the same time.
Yes. And then, of course,
I just put my fake glasses up to my nose and messed with my pocket protector when I said that. Can't see that. You can't see that on my breakfast.
Oh, I totally forgot about pocket protectors.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Another weird one. This is a. I'm going deep in the nerd culture now. Mm-hmm. At Lucha Vavoom, the announcer is Blaine Kapach. Kapach,
okay,
who hosted a game show called Beat the Geeks, which I thought was an awesome game. It was on Comedy Central for, like, you know,
that was a tremendous game show.
Yeah, and he was the host.
Okay.
And he was the announcer at Lucha Vavoom, and he asked me my name, and I told him my name, and he was like, oh, we're going to call you the Bryce is Right tonight. And he was, like, saying my name over the microphone, and, like, wow, you know, with fake excitement, and I was like, man, this guy who used to host this game show that I thought was cool says my name, and, like, I had a fanboy moment at Lucha Vavoom as well.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Really nice, too. He's a really cool guy. He's a stand-up in L.A. still. He's very, very cool.
Okay. Wow, Lucha Vavoom is definitely an interesting promotion. I've only heard tale of them. I have never had a chance to see them live.
They're doing their own thing. They're kind of doing the PWG approach to wrestling, like all out 110%. Here we go, boom, in your face, and then we're done, and we're gonna do it again next month. Like, there's not a whole lot of storyline, not always a whole lot of show build. I guess there is. There is. There's, you know, main event versus opening match.
Okay.
But they just do it, like. They have a crazy fanatic. When I worked, and there was like 1,200 people in Webster Hall in New York on a Sunday night, like,
wow,
crazy. And it, you know, the whole burlesque, you know, burlesque act wrestling match, burlesque act wrestling match. They did this thing at the end of the night called the Blacklight Match. Right, it was to wrap myself in glow in the dark tape and face paint.
What?
And they turn the lights on, put black lights over the ring, and it looks pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Not the day to have a stain on your shirt, as I found out the hard way.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that Jeff Hardy might do. Just put tape all over
himself. Yeah, but he does it all the time.
Yes. even when he's getting out of his car.
Yeah, even when he's eating breakfast with you. Just hanging out. No big deal.
Whatever. It's just
this
what I do.
Thing, it's like shower proof somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the shower's got the black lights in it, too, so.
There's paint coming out of the faucet, or, like, on him, you know? Wakes up.
Amazing.
Great.
Amazing.
Dream. Yeah.
Tremendous. Oh, dear.
What a twist of fate this conversation took.
Okay. Now, really?
Okay. Segue. Go. Your turn.
You've thrown me off with that appalling little bit of punnery that you've thrown out there. See, I threw one out on the very first show, and Sarah shot me down.
Come on.
Yeah,
lighten
totally.
Loosen up, Sarah. Little less hummus. Come on.
Yeah, she.
Yeah,
didn't...
no. If there were a job interview for Chikara, I just kind of organically came up through. But if there was a job interview, I think, especially in my mind for commentation station, I think punnery should be high on the list.
No doubt about it. No,
punnery and nerddom. I got very excited. I was able to add it properly without too much of a stretch. Use the word rhombus and hypotenuse in the same match.
What?
About, you know, the higher ups at your car really like when I say hypotenuse on commentary, so I try to say it as often as possible. once a show, I kind of told it once a show about, you know, being whipped from corner to corner is essentially the hypotenuse of the ring.
I see.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
So,
okay.
So I've gotten compliments on my use of hypotenuse from the powers that be. Mm-hmm. So I try to use it once a show. And the Royal Rhombus was the match, so I got to say Royal Rhombus and Pythagoreans. You know, what am I doing? Hypotenuse the same match. So my ninth grade geometry teacher, Mrs. Baum from Palmyra High School, be very excited, very proud of me.
Of course, the way it is and how it just keeps going in its numbers, the annual tag team gauntlet could be something of a pie rumble.
Yes,
so,
I like it.
Yeah, it's very. I'm kind of shoehorning there, but...
It sounds exhausting.
Yes. Just keeps going for thousands and thousands and thousands of numbers.
Yeah. That's a day to use your senior referee powers and be the commentator.
There you go.
Tag team call. Especially the end of King of Fear of the Weekend. We're all a touch worse for wear.
Yeah. Yeah, being tired and being stuck in there is
part of us all getting a bit older, kind of. I think the decision was made after Joshi Mania that King of Trios will be likely the only triple shot of the year. They'll be, you know, gonna keep it down. As we did two summers ago, we did Chicago. Oh, last summer we did Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that was Yeah.
It's rough.
Tiring.
Yeah.
It's a bit tiring. So, yeah, we're all getting a little bit older. We're all got, you know, some of us, believe it or not, even have real jobs.
What?
Don't tell our parents.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So yeah, I think King of Trios is probably going to be the only threefer of the year.
And definitely helpful to have it all in one building.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm a little bummed it's not as close to my house as it used to be, but yes. Not,
that's true.
The setup and tear down of the ring and the traveling between and the logistics of hotels and airports, oh my gosh, yes. 1,000,000 times.
And
that Joshi Mania was an amazing fun weekend, but oh man, it was a logistical exhausting nightmare.
Absolutely. Although I was able to, thanks to watching an episode of Man vs. Food before the show Friday night, while traveling to Boston, we did stop in a small town to have a steamed cheeseburger.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I would like to hear about this town, for I'll be driving to Boston in July.
I'm trying to remember what the name of the town was. It's a delicacy to many of the towns there. I'll try and find it for you. But
that's
intriguing.
That's a recent pleasure of Chikara trips, is discovering these places. You know, having, of course, deep dish pizza in Chicago. You yourself have pointed me in that direction. There's a whole grilled cheese place in Cleveland called Melt.
I need to go there.
Oh my gosh, you do! And there's this dynamic, these milkshakes in North Carolina. Oh my gosh.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Cookout is this place they have, you know, like fast food and 40 flavors of milkshakes. And I have peanut butter banana milkshakes and blueberry cheesecake milkshakes. And oh my gosh. They're all over North Carolina. And that's like, I will never ever go to North Carolina without going to Cookout.
Wow.
There's a place called Dinosaur Barbecue in Syracuse, New York. We'll be hitting there in a little while, in a few weeks. And it's, could use some New England. I always feel a little bit lacking in their food options. So I would love to hear about your steamed cheeseburger.
Try to
dip in there's rumblings of dipping in a sweet lobster shack in Portland, Maine.
Ooh, yes.
And the cheese castle has I've missed the cheese castle twice now. So
yes.
When we get to Milwaukee in August, for sure, the cheese castle. And I'm not even kidding about tweeting me and Facebooking me places to eat in these towns we go to. I would love to do them. It's becoming a tradition. Oh, there's an all mac and cheese place in Manhattan we go to after every Manhattan show.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's up, man. It's the new. We're keeping ourselves amused on the road, I think, partially.
I will
there
is one of the cheese places along that particular corridor up to Milwaukee where I know I can find the info for it, but the proprietor and owner was a former pro wrestler.
That's awesome.
And he has pictures of like stuff all over the place.
That's awesome. You have till August, mister.
Absolutely.
We're doing it.
Yes.
We're doing it. Yeah, yeah. And even this is not a supremely local thing, but we don't have Steak and Shake in Philadelphia. So whenever we're in Detroit, we're going to Steak and Shake. But we're also, I know they have, Indianapolis is like the Steak and Shake capital of the world. So,
oh, yeah. They're everywhere down there. Yep.
Yeah. So that'll be happening over the summer.
I did a cartwheel once in a Steak and Shake to get a free milkshake at 3 a.m.
It worked? You got it?
It totally worked, yeah. And it wasn't even just like a plain old milkshake. It was, they were having this special that's like, it was like an Indianapolis Colts one where it was like half blue that was like an Oreo flavor and then half vanilla.
Sure. Sounds great.
I was astounded it worked.
We were in a Dairy Queen somewhere in Indiana for an IWM Mid-South show. I was traveling with Eric Cannon, Claudio Castagnoli, and the Wild Cards. And Cannon was the IWA champion at the time with possibly the most beautiful belt you've ever seen. You remember that thing, TJ?
Absolutely,
gorgeous.
I do. Gorgeous.
A thing of beauty, a vision of perfection. And he had his belt, and like, you know, children we were playing with his belt in Dairy Queen. And the lady behind the counter said, "Oh, are you a champion?" And he said, "Yeah." But he was like, "No, no, no." And we were like, "No, he's the IWA Mid-South champion, man." And she said, "Well, that sounds like you get a free Blizzard."
What?
So he got a free Blizzard for being the champion of IWA Mid-South. So immediately the Wild Cards chimed in and said they were the IWA Mid-South tag team champions, which was true at the time. However, if you remember, PJ, they didn't have belts. For, you know, I'm sure a variety of reasons / excuses, they did not have belts. So, but this very sweet woman, you know, gave them free Blizzards as well because they were champions.
Oh.
So Claudio chimed in and explained that he was the champion of IWA Switzerland, which is or was for a moment a thing.
That belt was amazing because I remember it had like a fringe, a furry fringe.
Exactly. And that was actually a really sweet belt.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Claudio had it with him. And of course in those days he was eating blizzards and he had a blizzard as well, a free blizzard. And then the lady felt sorry for me, and I got a free blizzard too. And then I can't imagine that Dairy Queen's still in business because they made no profit and gave out 5 free blizzards to a bunch of idiots for no particular reason. Whatever. It was on a day like that, on a trip, IW Mid-South trip, where you're clearly, you know, pretty much just blowing your nose with 20s, you know, just rolling in the money.
Oh, yes.
That was a very that was a fun thing.
That's fantastic. I remember at the
time.
That
might have been Lafayette, Indiana, too. I think that might have been Lafayette. I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere. We met Cannon somewhere, but yeah. Speaking of Cannon, since I've been to Minnesota, mm-hmm. maybe you can inform me on the beauty of Juicy Lucy's.
I what?
They're like cheeseburgers with cheese baked inside of them. It's a Minneapolis thing. I saw it on, you know, Dinette Drivers and Dives. I spent my free time.
All right.
but yeah, I didn't realize I had to get back to Minnesota until I saw that.
I think I have to get back to Minnesota now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe we'll go to Milwaukee early. Just take a drive.
There we go. Yeah. I've only done the one trip up there for the Impact Invitational.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was pretty fun.
It was one of the most random trips I'd ever been on. I was with Joey Eastman at the time, which always makes things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I do recall as we were heading home after the third day, we were stopped at a truck stop, and it was quiet enough. There was only 2 other people in the entire place with us. They let us go make our own food, and then we started talking with the other 2 people, and we found out they were actually circus performers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's upper Midwest hospitality.
Exactly. It was a beautiful thing.
That's great.
So.
Yeah, that was that weekend was one of my reigns as the ICW Texarkana Television Champion.
That's right. How many reigns did you have?
2, I think.
Okay.
Once in there, it was either Wisconsin or Minnesota. It was right by the border, I think, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly.
The second night, I believe, was technically in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was one of the second in Wisconsin, and the other one was in for IWC outside of Pittsburgh.
Ah.
Kamala was on that show, I remember.
Really?
Yeah, hanging out with Kamala, I'm really excited.
Well, I mean, after he had been sort of, it's a horrible way to use the word, domesticated by Slick.
That's true.
He was much easier to hang out
with. I can indeed confirm that he is a man.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you are a man, Kamala. The Reverend Slick. The good Reverend.
That's right. The good Reverend
Dr.
Slick.
Mr. Slick. the second foremost Reverend Dr. Mr. in American history.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, Slick doesn't get a day off in January, though, for him. But
no,
you know, I'd say close second.
Without a doubt. I don't know why I suddenly flashed to fun days as a kid reading WWF Magazine. And I remember they did an article when Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan went to Slick's church. And they had to throw Bobby Heenan out because he was stealing from the collection plate.
That's awesome, man. I have so much jealousy for those, like, a day at going to work was like, you know, Mean Gene going to Toys R Us and goofing mm-hmm. off with the Bushwhackers. Like, that was a day at work for them.
Yep.
Like, the hokiest, cheesiest stuff, but, like, they got paid for, oh, man, that was a life. I would love to be, like, just a dude hanging around, like, Sean Mooney doing the event centers for, like, all the different cities in one day. Like, that mm-hmm. would be, I would love that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we gotta start doing localized event centers, I think, in Chikara.
Without a doubt, definitely.
When we did one for Canada, the one and only Archibald Peck was in the room,
ooh.
And I think I accidentally used every Canadian stereotype that I had. Like, I was grasping at straws, you know, bring your hockey sticks, and, you know, bring your gallon of maple syrup. And we just, and, you know, I was finished recording, and Archibald Peck said, you just insulted every Canadian. I was like, oh, man. I realized that was going on. And back off on the local color just a bit.
Maybe next time tell them there will be poutine, and
Do
it. Have someone do it in Quebecois.
Yes, 3.0. I would love to do that.
There we go.
Jagged exceptionally. Always. Last time when we were in Montreal, you know, was the nightlife captain took us out and about.
Nice.
There was a lady. It was, I think, literally 5 degrees Fahrenheit. It was one of the coldest days I can remember. And the lady waiting in line for a club in a skin-tight miniskirt and halter top.
Wow.
And she decided, like, that's dedication, you know? She has to get in this club with the red rope. Like, she really needs to get in there. So, good for her.
I've seen that a lot in Chicago, and while Chicago's not quite as bad as Canada, it gets pretty cold.
It's pretty cold. It gets pretty cold in Chicago.
Yes,
PJ.
It does.
Don't sell yourself short.
It does.
Oh man.
And I've seen that exact same phenomenon.
That's like my main. I could see myself living in Chicago, but the winters might cripple me.
This last winter wasn't so bad compared to past ones, but
we had a mild winter too.
I do remember not too many years ago. Where we did have a 2-week period where we never got out of single digits. Yeah.
That eats away at you.
And
I like variety. I like spring and fall, but that can depress a person.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely get seasonal affective disorder for sure.
And we have outdoor trains that I don't understand.
Yeah, that is strange actually.
It makes no sense. Yeah.
The CTA.
Oh yes, the CTA, the L as it were.
Yes, I asked I asked Dr. Keith what the CTA stop by the Logan Square Auditorium was, so I could sound cool on the Event Center once. And I asked Eastman the same thing in Boston, and he didn't really help me as much. But Dr. Keith is very helpful.
Yes. Dr. Keith tends to be more helpful than Eastman.
Yes. That's just kind of a rule in life.
Yeah, pretty much.
But no, I knew that where we were going now, where we go in Boston, Everett, Massachusetts, near the T goes there now, because that was a complaint. We went to Brockton, Massachusetts. People were saying, oh man, you know, it's so far out of town, the T doesn't go there. Mm-hmm. Now the T goes to Everett, so I wanted to sound cool and say what T stop it was. But I guess I don't know. I'll get it next time. Again, tweet me, let me know. I'll get it in.
There you go. Bryce Remsburg, always massively accessible by social media.
Yes. Man of the people.
Absolutely.
Also, you should. I bet you get this a lot, PJ. You should tweet more.
I probably should. I freely admit that I'm horrendous when it comes to keeping up with that kind of stuff. I'm very good at talking myself out of. No one cares.
Yeah, you got to get yourself. You have to be yourself addicted like I do. Now it's like a nervous twitch, like getting here. Now that it's on your phone, like oh man, just, let's see what everybody has to say today. Like it's so lame, but such.
My most recent tweet did have me interact with one of the NATO protesters here in Chicago.
Nice.
I got very snarky with them.
I do like when people can call out celebrities. I like that, really. Mm-hmm. Or not even celebrities, just people that are willing to fight with people on the internet. Like the Colonel. I don't know if you know Chuck Taylor's buddy, the Colonel, the decorated war veteran.
I've heard, yes.
He got into a fight with Brutus Beefcake's wife on Twitter last week, and I was like, wow, like how random, but how exciting. Like,
absolutely.
A friend of mine got called out Courtney Love, and she responded like, "That's great. That's so much. Like, what an exciting Tuesday afternoon, you know?"
Mm-hmm. It's. I've been hearing people talking about that in this age of accessibility we have, where back in the day, you had to write a letter and you might get a response, and it'd probably be a form letter with an autographed picture.
Wasn't all that awesome? Recently, a letter that Phil Hartman wrote, an aspiring comedian, got out.
Huh.
Did you catch this?
I did not.
It was like 3 weeks ago, he, some guy wrote to him, oh, I need advice with comedy. And Phil Hartman wrote him the nicest, sweetest handwritten letter. And it came, you know, this was out online a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, man, like, that warms your heart. It's a shame your wife killed you. But it is. I know that's not
it is
a cold,
it's a tremendous shame. Yeah.
Just like, what a sweet man. Seek that out. It's very, very, very heartfelt and kind and. You know.
I will. It's up there with that sounds like something up there with and I'd have to basically clean this up. Will Wheaton did a tremendous keynote address at are you familiar with PAX? Have you heard of PAX?
That was like a low grade cable channel for a while, wasn't it?
There was that, yes.
The level 6 network.
PAX is the...
it was like WB, CW, PAX, Univision.
It was like two steps below America One. PAX is the Penny Arcade Expo. Gentleman that run the Penny Arcade website, and he did a full keynote address there, sort of talking about life on the internet. And to paraphrase, to keep it PG, the essential thing was don't be a jerk. But he used a very different word for jerk. It was. It's that same sort of thing. It's like, go out there, be fruitful, love on the internet and have fun. Yeah. And just don't – there's no reason to yell at people unless they deserve
it. Be kind. Positivity. What goes around comes around. Like, it's easy. It's hard. You know, I mean, it's not hard. It's like, just having a good day, say something that amuses you. Maybe it'll amuse someone else. Like, that's kind of my thing with Twitter. Like, a lot of the times people that I either know personally or admire professionally or, you know, personally, it's something cute happens to them, and they talk about it, and it makes me smile, or makes me, oh, that's cool. So, like, I don't know, maybe something weird happens to me makes someone else smile. Maybe not, whatever. Maybe I'm just, you know, gratifying myself. But either way, it's fairly harmless. You don't want to become an over-tweeter. I was talking with Sarah and Cabana about that last weekend. Don't want to be that guy or that lady that's the over-tweeter. Cabana always feels like he should tweet more, but doesn't have anything to tweet about, and he's very careful about, you know, not too many plugs, not too many this, not, you know, keep in check, which I can respect.
Absolutely.
I don't have 60,000 followers either like he does. Or,
he does have quite a few.
It's crazy, yeah. He's definitely like I would go as far to say he is as far as unsigned professional wrestlers go, he's probably winning.
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean,
of course, every follower pays a penny, right? That's how that works.
That's totally how it works, yeah.
Yeah. Just like YouTube hits pay a nickel.
Amazing.
I wish.
It'd be wonderful. Yeah.
I have a 2005 Chevy Cavalier instead of a 2004 Chevy Cavalier.
Ooh, moving on up.
Nickels.
I knew Cabana had hit an entirely different level when as I'm walking down the street going to work and I look at one of the newspaper boxes that houses different newspapers, and I just see a flexing Colt Cabana on the cover of
the
Chicago Reader, the local free
that
weekly.
That was a great article, too. That was a great article.
Tremendous article.
He was on Jordan Jesse Go last week, too, which is like, you know, geek world implosion for me. Like, so cool.
Nice. Yeah, he is out there, as the phrasing goes.
Good for him. He is you know, guys like him and Punk and Brian are like if these are the torchbearers for what we do, like preach on. You know what I mean? Like, these are the guys that are like setting the trends and setting the standard. Like, absolutely, I'm all about that.
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, we couldn't ask for better ambassadors.
Absolutely, on an indie level, you know, Cabana, Canerico, I think is a great ambassador to what we do. I think, like, yes, rock on, good for that. Whenever those guys. The Young Bucks, to an extent, whenever they're at a Chikara show, like, that show is a better show. Like, we always say that about Cabana and Generico specifically. Like, it's just not possible to be with us every month, but every time they're with us, like, the locker room is a better place and the show is a better show. Like, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, we've been jabbering on for a little while here.
Yes, as we are wont to do.
So, I think at this time we should sign off for this installment of My Breakfast with Chikara for Bryce Remsburg.
This is delicious breakfast. Thank you for having me, PJ. And I'm so excited you're able to do this. PJ's a great man. PJ's a great man.
Oh, thank you. I'm lucky to have individuals that think great things of me so that I can aspire to live up to that. So,
well said.
I
good
try.
Segue to the end. Good
there
segue
we go.
To the end.
But
Have a pleasant tomorrow.
Exactly. But before we do that, as we mentioned, you are all over Twitter. How might people converse with you by Twitter?
Someone would search for @, which is the @ symbol. Da Bryce is right, DA, because some terrible woman has the Bryce is right, who hasn't tweeted in a year and a half, and she will not give it to me. I've called her out in public several times.
Wow.
Not public, you know, the internet public.
Of course.
But the Bryce is right is occupied by someone who doesn't use it, but Da Bryce is right is the street version of me.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, I don't respond to every single tweet because I, you know, it's sometimes I don't want to be like the over-tweeter crazy guy, but I definitely read them all, and they're, you know, some very kind people say some very kind things, and it's very nice. I enjoy the interaction of Twitter, especially, you know, as we were saying, on pay-per-views live and wrestling and life, whatever. It's fun. I dig it.
Beautiful. And, of course, to see the exploits of one Bryce Remsburg, you can, of course, go to a live Chikara event. Go to ChikaraPro.com to see where they might be, hopefully coming near your hometown. But if they are not...
Yeah.
You can go to smartmarkvideo.com. You can buy physical products in DVDs or download MP4s.
All true. All true.
And it's a beautiful thing. Chikara at the forefront of technology.
A crazy back catalog awaits you at smartmarkvideo.com. It's very easy to get caught up.
Absolutely.
And but as you said, and I will say, nothing does Chikara justice like a live experience. You know, if it's coming near you, a couple hours near you, like, take the drive. Go check it out. I go to bat. I will go to bat personally for your live Chikara experience. Like, if you don't have a good time, like, I won't give you a high five or something. I don't know, but I can't recommend it enough. It's worth at least one try. Try one. Come out and give the show a shot, and let me know what you think.
There we go. Bryce, thank you so much.
If you don't have a great time, we'll club the Stady Seal.
Exactly. We need to bring back that National Lampoon's cover that got them in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't buy this magazine, this dog dies.
Absolutely.
Yes. Bryce, thank you again, sir.
Thank you, PJ.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week.